Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them together into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber and I crave content. And I'm joined by, live and in person, sharing one microphone, Paul Lukemeyer. Paul, who are you? And what do you have a hunger for?
Hey, I'm Paul Lukemeyer. By day, I am a mild-mannered salaryman, but by night, I record an actual play Pathfinder podcast named Burnt Cookbook Party. It's a fun game where nothing bad ever happens, and it's full of fun hijinks.
Yeah, it's super structured. We're super respectful of the rules. There's no amount of lore or callbacks or jokes.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that I didn't know any of my show hosts before I started. It was just me and four strangers.
And that's the way actual plays get made. You just get some people off Craigslist or at the bus stop, and you lure them in to play D&D with you, and you record it.
There is a high Craigslist quota. And what do I have hunger for? Big games. Has someone else already said that?
I don't think so.
Okay, big ones. Big games.
Okay, what does a big game imply to you, Paul? Can you give me an example?
Sometimes your eyes get so big when you see it.
Whoa.
That they're bigger than your stomach.
I see, okay. I'm assuming you're talking about JRPGs because those are the biggest games.
Yeah, or sandboxes. Games are a bit gritty.
Hey, so that's the quality of jokes you can expect on this show and on Burnt Cookbook Party. Are you playing anything right now? You playing any good games?
No. Geez, what was I playing last? I keep waiting to start the Stardew Valley expansion that came out pretty recently.
Yeah.
I sat down and started a new file, and I got my grandpa to sell me his old farm, but I haven't sat down and made anything from it yet.
I think that's what happens in the game. Your living grandpa sells you the farm?
No, you're being haunted by your grandpa.
Okay, that's more what I remembered.
Okay, so for accuracy in journalism and Stardew Valley, you do inherit the farm. Thank you, Jenna, for keeping you straight.
Well, I wasn't positive. Maybe the update, maybe they got rid of grandpa's sad bed in the new star, and he's alive and kicking, and he sells you the farm.
They didn't patch grandpa's death.
That's a shame. That is a shame. Yeah, I also recently made you play Balatro on a live stream. Are you going to pick that up, do you think, when you go home?
Yeah, whenever I need that fix, whenever I need to feel like I'm gambling without actually losing all my money and property, that feels like a good option. Not a lot of gambling games are fun for me, but that one was fun because you get magic powers.
Do you consider your lifespan a resource that you can gamble away like money? Because if so, then I would say the gambling price of Balatro is steep.
That sounds like a Tales from the Crypt episode, doesn't it? Or like a Twilight Zone where you're literally gambling with your life.
I would be shocked if one of them hadn't done something like that.
It's got to be a manga. I don't know. Yes.
Okay. Well, good luck with Balatro then.
Thank you.
Let's go to the ingredient list, I guess.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm excited.
You're excited. You're not just ready. You're excited.
Oh, man. Have you ever seen Iron Chef? Can I name other named media on the show, or is it?
we already have a bunch. Wow. So what you're really
concerned ape would love a plug. No, Iron Chef. Every time they unveil the ingredient in Iron Chef, it's just like this holy experience. You get this choir music. You see like crabs scuttling and falling out of these crab containers. It's the best. I love ingredients.
I love the part where the Iron Chef or the Iron Chef's nephew, if you're watching the UK or US version, does his dramatic gesture to the thing, and the cloche rises up, and you see piles and piles and piles of whatever the ingredient is.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Yeah. I love the production value of Iron Chef. They really go for it.
It's silly.
It is silly. That's what I like, Paul.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to roll my 3d20. I'm going to discreetly turn my secret screen away so Paul can't see the options we get.
Secrets are dangerous for me.
I have selected our ingredient list options based on the dice roll.
Oh boy.
And now I'm going to ask you, do you want to participate in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard, which is an alternate list of prompts that Grant Howitt gave me because he's crazy. If you say yes, we'll flip a coin, and then whatever you call out, if we get it, I will substitute one of these three options with a Grant Howitt option, which are more difficult and more insane.
I've never played dagger darts in real life, and I'm afraid I never will, so I think this is my one chance, Jenna.
Okay, heads or tails, Paul?
Tails.
Tails! All right, well, I'm going to roll one additional d20.
The one with a skull on it.
All right. This is, as promised, difficult and challenging and fun.
Well, I'm glad you're here to help out.
So our adjective prompt comes from a former guest, Jeff Moonen. Thank you, Jeff. It is claustrophobia.
Oh.
Claustrophobic. Our premise, which is a Grant Howitt-provided premise, is based on a popular 2007 reality TV show. And the type of gameplay is family sim.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are any... I'm going to Google 2007
Thank God,
reality.
Because I was really drawing a blank. I could only think of 2008 and 2006 reality TV shows.
Let's see...
Can we pick one that's family-related, or do we have to do another die roll?
We've got some options. Let me look at the... This thing is late. There are a lot of reality shows airing in 2007, including quite a lot of cooking shows, if we wanted to go that
Ooh.
Direction. I mean, we've already been talking about Iron Chef, as we are, statistically speaking, I think most of the times when we're talking.
True.
So that is an option. Paul, what's your experience with... reality TV shows?
RuPaul's Drag Race. And that's it.
Unfortunately, that started 2009, so it's not an option. Let me know at what point you regret engaging with the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard, because some other guests have critiqued my method of engaging with it. They think that it doesn't make sense to ask if you want to participate and also to flip a coin. And in my pitch is that The Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard prompts are difficult. So you have to be willing to engage with them, even though you don't know what they are. You just have to take my word for it.
Sure. No, I had no problem with it. I feel like randomness is an inescapable part of living.
So true.
Yeah.
And one that we are engaging with explicitly on this show.
Right. You've got to embrace it. What were the other two prompts? One was claustrophobia and the other one was family.
Yeah, family sim.
Family sim.
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe we want something family related, like I know my kid's a star or my kid's a star.
Ooh, so you're pitching sort of a game in which maybe you're like a mother or a father trying to get their kid famous.
Whoa. Yeah, either that or you're like the producer of the reality show.
Okay. What if the game we make is a family sim where you are trying to get your child famous.
Yes.
But you are not playing as the parent. You're playing as the child.
Yes.
Who is feeling maybe emotionally or literally claustrophobic about the situation.
I think literally and emotionally.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there are scenes where you get trapped in small places.
Okay, so what is the reality television show? I mean, here's how we circumvent or deal gently with the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard option.
Yeah.
What if what if the game is not based on a 2007's reality TV show, but it is based on the concept of being about a 2007's? It's not a specific show. It's the concept of the show.
Here's my wild pitch.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah.
You have to prove on this reality show that your child is the reincarnation of Harry Houdini. And the child has to escape from small enclosures. And the child is claustrophobic.
And you are the child.
Oh, okay. You're not the parent anymore.
Well, no. That's what I was pitching. I mean, these are our options. We have three options.
Yeah.
You can be the child
doing
the actual things, and then the parental aspect is like the story aspect.
Okay.
You could be the parents trying to get your child to do this even though they're claustrophobic and they don't want to.
If it's a family sim, I think you need to present multiple sides. So I think maybe between each puzzle break where you're the child in the scene trying to escape and fight claustrophobia. And then there's in-between intermission where you're the parent or the family and you're trying to massage the kid and make sure that they're able to continue performing.
Okay.
So it's kind of a management sequence to keep your ongoing pressure down that, that lasts. There's a metric for whether the kid is going to snap. And that carries through the entire season.
The third option is you're a producer on the show. But you're right that if it's a family sim, it should be maybe we bounce between two parents and the child.
Maybe the parents are divorced.
Okay.
Or maybe that's an option. That's a toggleable. It's in the...
Wait, okay. Is it in the New Game Plus run? Is the second season of this reality show you're trying to get your child on? Is the reality show the search for Harry Houdini's... reincarnation. Is that what you're suggesting? So it's like the show is trying to find it. Okay. I like that because it's, I mean, why not? There's way dumber reality TV shows out there.
That's true.
Paul, how do we make this fun and funny and not a child abuse simulator? Because if your child's claustrophobic and you're forcing them into boxes to pretend to be Harry Houdini, it feels borderline.
I play so many games that are like Path to Adulthood simulators, right? Like Pokemon.
What? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What?
you're a young child and you're going out in the world and you're discovering it and you're establishing yourself. You're making friends and enemies.
Okay.
They're all like that. Like Zelda, Link is usually like a tween or something, or at least like a teen. And, you know, a teen is a child. They can be dark. They can be dark games, Jenna.
Yeah.
Is The Legend of Zelda a child abuse simulator? Some might say yes.
Nobody would say that about Zelda.
So you just have to give the player the feeling like their child, who is Harry Houdini's resurrection, is not a child. They're a hero. They're a heroic child.
Okay. Okay. I think if you're playing as the child... I think if the mood is sort of a Katamari Damacy, I think if it's wacky and abstract enough, it'll be fine.
I think Harry's ghost talks to you, and he talks you through the claustrophobia sections.
What a hilarious insult to Harry Houdini, who notoriously did not believe in ghosts or the afterlife and was all about debunking mediums. What an incredible slander to his memory.
I think he shows up when your claustrophobia gauge hits a certain point, and he's like, hey, kid. Stuff going in there, huh?
Yeah. I'm Harry Houdini. I died from being punched in the stomach too good. Let me help you out of this box. Maybe that's the kill screen as Harry Houdini appears to you and he lets you out of the box and you fail that round of the reality show.
Oh, no, I like that. He possesses your body and he solves that lickety split.
Yeah. But no, okay. That's really setting you up to win. The reality show.
Because
if you're actually being possessed by Harry Houdini, I think that gives you a pretty unfair advantage.
Well, that's true. But I think if you fail the family portion, even if you're doing okay with the, you know, the release portion, the going over Niagara Falls portion, there's a way to fail that. There's a way to fail the family simulator.
I see. Okay. And then you drop out because you're too emotionally distraught.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Or your uncle and aunt come and get you or something like that.
Going over Niagara Falls should be the final stage whatever the game is.
Oh,
yeah. It's the ultimate success of the Harry Houdini reincarnation reality TV show. I'm imagining, so there's like two phases of the game. There's the phase where you're doing the reality TV show and there's the phase when you're doing the family stuff.
Yeah.
How are we balancing that? I guess we should commit to which of these characters you're being.
Well, there's no one else to be in the actual live reality show TV portion but the kid. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Oh, you think so? It should be the kid during the reality TV portion.
Yeah.
And that's like the action reflexy kind of gameplay. And then the
family
sim.
That's when you have your Wiimote and you're jumping off your couch, having a good time. Yeah.
And then the family portion is the backstage stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that as a structure because then you can kind of like bounce back and forth between those two. There can be whole sections where it's just you as a parent behind the stage being like, you can do it, kid, shouting encouragements or like, I don't know, trying to get an agent. What is the parent doing?
Well, it can be as complicated as we want. It can be a whole macro management system.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where you, you know, evolve aspects of your child's personality and goals. or go out and get agents, or like bribe the producer, or like sabotage other kids or parents' relationships.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You just described about 20 different gameplay mechanics.
Some games are real melting pots, Jenna.
Okay.
Should we streamline? Well, let's prune. Editing is 100% of craft.
Oh, that's true. 100%.
Yeah.
You only have to edit ever. Yeah. What are you imagining for like the gameplay? Because I guess a sim, family simulator, implies that there are like management aspects. So it is like not just like budget stuff, although that would be funny.
That is a big part of family.
Yeah.
Succeeding as a family is managing your finances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a group. Are there two parents? This is a question.
There can be. I think you pick when you start a new game. You get the new game screen and it's like easy, medium, hard, parents, 0, 1, 2, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, is there a dog that can bark and it lowers your claustrophobia gauge? Stuff like that.
How do you unlock three-parent mode?
Is that an accessibility option? No, no, not at all. I think once you beat it and you get to New Game Plus, then with the winnings you get from your show,
you can buy new
options.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So it's like, this is our difficulty mode, is like easy is two parents. I say easy. Obviously, this is a game. It's not literal. The quality of your parents will determine this. But it's easy is two parents. No, easy should be three parents.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Regular, normal setting should be two parents. Difficult mode should be one. And then the insane is no parents and you're solo flying.
Yeah. The insane
you're
is
emancipated.
You faked having parents to get into the show, but it's just like a doll.
Yeah. But you still have to do both.
Yeah.
You still have to do both sides of the gameplay as the one person.
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
That's how you become the true Houdini, the true Dini.
I think Houdini probably had some amount of parents. So, okay, so the reality TV show portion is you're doing Houdini-related challenges.
Oh, you're in the box. You're in the box. The opening cutscene for each level is whatever, you know, constraint you're getting put in. Like, you see the lid close on the box, and then your HUD appears, and it's got, like, the claustrophobia gauge. Yeah, this is intense.
Is the claustrophobia gauge just a timer?
No, there's a timer for the round, and then the gauge, like, it's persistent through rounds, because sometimes, you know, there's just no way to clear the claustrophobia, and so it's like a meter that slowly goes up, and it may be more artful. It's like a spiral or something.
Okay, and so probably there are, like, downtime portions where you need to be managing your claustrophobia in order to decrease it? Okay.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know what that would be, I guess lying in an open field where you can see the sun.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Does it sound like it would decrease your claustrophobia?
For sure. Okay. For sure. I mean, probably different people decompress in different ways. Maybe there can be rotating cutscenes with different things, you know.
Okay. Well, it can't be cutscenes. It has to be gameplay.
Okay. How do you gamify lying in a field?
Press B to relax.
I heard you.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
I would play that game. Are you kidding me?
And then the off-hour stuff will be, like, just gameplay family. That's the family sim portion of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good structure. Are there other ways? I really love the idea of Harry Houdini family, or Harry Houdini reality TV show. Is there a version of this where we don't have any of the backstage stuff, and it is just the Harry Houdini reality TV show?
Oh, yeah. There's an action mode.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, within
there's
it.
There's arcade mode, and then there's story mode, which has the management breakdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, but we have to have that to meet the criteria, which includes a Fair Play 7.
Are there any other, like, varieties of a game that we want to test out? Because Family Sim is pretty ambiguous.
That's true. I imagine it would be, you know, some aspect of being, like, a family that could be gamified, which usually is, like, relationship management, right? It's, like, the parents and the kids doing stuff. But maybe it's, like, finding a way to cooperate or do teamwork. It's a parent-child reality show.
When I think, could be that. We already pinpointed what that would be.
Okay.
When I think of Family Sims, for some reason, I think of Octodad.
Yes! Yes! What a great game!
As far as, like, dad simulators.
Okay.
It's not really a sim game. That's sort of a movement.
I think any game where you occupy the role of a parent and you have to undertake that parent's responsibilities is kind of a simulator. I would call... God of War 2003 or whatever, that is a family sim.
Okay.
You're learning values about family and you're bringing home the bacon.
Okay. All right. Is there a claustrophobic family sim where you're just playing as a parent and you're just trying to help your child? What would that be? Maybe it's like your work from home parent.
Oh.
Who... And it's the first year of lockdown, pandemic lockdown, and you have to take care of both a child and your job. And the claustrophobia feeling, it's the claustrophobia feeling of that.
I like that. And then the claustrophobia doesn't have to be a mechanic. The claustrophobia feeling might be aesthetic. It might be built into your experience because they're very claustrophobic films and it's all in the atmosphere and the scenes and things like that.
Yeah, and there are claustrophobic games. I think a lot of horror games have claustrophobic elements to make them feel more stressful. But that's an option. It's not as fun as Harry Houdini reincarnation reality show.
Well, we have to explore alternatives.
Yeah.
Being a dad in a cubicle makes sense. Like, maybe it's locked down and his job sends him a work cubicle and it's literally smaller than the room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. That's insane.
And maybe that could be the reality show part, which we've got to tie in, is it's a work from home reality show, kind of like The Apprentice-ish. But
okay. Yeah. There's something really upsetting about the idea that you would work from home and that your boss would be like, well, you need a cubicle.
Oh,
obviously, you need a cubicle.
I'm channeling my own nightmares here as a mild-mannered salaryman.
Yeah, so I think that's really funny. I love the idea of a game that explores that as like a late-stage capitalism hellscape thing. I think there's something there.
There could be more of those. There have been a few.
Could it be, what if it's a game where your boss sends you this cube and you set it up in your office and you enter it and then you have to keep working as it revolves?
Oh my gosh.
What if it's a cube that has like built-in gyroscopic movement and hydraulics, and occasionally if your boss thinks you're being either too little or too great productivity. Like if your productivity is too good or too bad, it shakes you or it tips you. And so the game is just about being locked in this cube and trying to do whatever your normal sim job is. And it'll just be like number crunching. But then occasionally the whole screen does tilt. Like your gameplay screen, the visual part of it, all of it tilts and you have to keep doing.
That is phenomenal. And I think that the boss should be like the host of the reality show. And so he would push his intercom button and he would be like a silhouette behind a screen.
If you're enjoying Big Game Hunger, why don't you check out some of the other shows that are part of the Multitude Collective? I think you'd like Exolore. Have you ever wondered what life would be like on a different planet, one not like Earth? Or how writers create incredible fictional sci-fi worlds like that? Well, wonder no more, because we have facts for you. Hard, real, earnest, legit facts from a real, earnest astrophysicist. And this is true, / folklorist, Dr. Moya McTeer. She explores fictional worlds by building them with a panel of expert guests, interviewing professional world builders, or reviewing the merits of worlds that have already been built. But if you're interested in world building or space, you should really check it out. You'll learn. You'll laugh. You'll gain an appreciation for how special our planet really is. I know you think Earth is mid, but it's got a lot going for it. Subscribe today by searching Exolore, which is Exolore, in your podcast app, or going to exolorepod.com. That's Exolorepod.com. Exolore. Check it out. Are you a nerd, but also somebody who likes to dress nicely and kind of struggle to blend those two things that you love? Hey, I am right there with you. But if you're looking for gear that's going to make you feel and look pretty badass, may I recommend Volante Design? Their high-quality, handmade jackets bring that main character energy into your everyday life. They also bring just, like, style. You know, like style? They have official licenses from series like Assassin's Creed, Devil May Cry. They've got Mass Effect jackets. If you've ever wanted an N7 Special Ops Mass Effect jacket, but also wanted it to be high quality and well-made, Volante Design is here for you. So if you're ready to invest in a stylish and high-quality jacket, you can go to volantedesign.us, that's VOLANTEdesign.us, and use the code BGH, all caps, for 10% off your entire order. I will also put a link in the show notes of this episode for you to click on. That's BGH, all caps, for 10% off your entire order at Volante Design. Is this like, is the reality show like a prank show where this cube gets delivered to like bunches of different people? Or is it like a full season? Because, you know, there are prank show reality shows where it's just like, here's this person, you see them for 3 minutes and then they're gone forever. Like each episode could be a different person gets this cube and we're going to watch them. Or it could be like, we're following these 10 cubes. as they are installed in in people's homes, and it's the same 10 characters the whole season.
Most of the reality shows I see are elimination style, so that's just the first thing that came to mind. I love the idea that there was a job application that people could fill out, and it turns out that they applied and succeeded for a reality television show, and the format is they get sent to cubicle. They're not totally sure what's about. Some of those prank shows, they know they're on it, but they don't know the content exactly.
Yeah.
So then they're like, what is this? What is this, mate? And then they get trapped, yeah.
I love the idea of somebody applying for a job, getting the job, going to the office. They're like shown around, here's the kitchen, here's the bathroom, and then they're shown their office. And they enter the office, and the door closes behind them, and they start to work. And then after like an hour, they're like, you know, I really want to stretch my legs, I want to run to the bathroom. They go, they reach for the door, click, click. Why won't the door open?
Oh, no.
You're locked in.
This
welcome to Cube.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cube. And you just, and maybe that's just where you live. And maybe you've been kidnapped. This is a game. It's not a real reality show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's edging into horror, which I think the term claustrophobia kind of implied in the first place. I do like the idea of the cubicle moving. I think the boss should call that flexible time away.
I love the idea. I mean, I don't love it. It's horrifying, but I'm amused by the idea of a game about people being locked into cubes. Mm-hmm, and then, and then just like having to do challenges in the cube while the cube is moving or rotating.
Well, what's a family angle? Is it somebody who is like a working parent or is it the whole family and like they have to coordinate or cooperate somehow? Could it be like a ripoff of the opening of the Brady Bunch where you see a bunch of people and their faces in boxes, but they're literally in boxes?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Or like the early 2000s movie Cube? No, Pie?
It was Cube.
It was Cube?
Okay. Pie was important in the film.
Yes.
As a concept, but it was Cube. And then later there was Hypercube. Not as good. Had some high notes. Cube is pretty good. It stands up.
Cube's pretty good. Pretty good horror movie.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot there. Maybe you have to move from cubicle to cubicle. Maybe you're trapped with your family and you all have to get out, like the escape room movie, where you're just moving from cubicle to cubicle, doing day jobs in each cubicle in order to progress.
Okay, this is strong. I feel so good about this. Work from home themed reality show that also includes aspects of the horror film The Cube is so real to me. I can feel it physically as we're talking. And it could be called just Cubicle.
Well, let me write that down.
Yeah. It's a week, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. That makes me think it should be ice themed.
Oh, no.
In order to retroactively make that
colder,
a pun.
A cubicle. You're in a big ice tray. Who
a
knows?
Tasty cubicle. You reach into your freezer. You pull it out.
Crunchy.
I like both of these ideas. I really do love Harry Houdini reincarnation reality show. There's something just really inherently funny about that.
There's so much going on with that, though. It feels like mixture of games that don't always combine seamlessly. I feel like the family in a cubicle reality show going from cube to cube trying to escape feels like a more cohesive game. It feels like people would see the pitch, they'd understand it, they wouldn't be like, what the heck is this?
Okay, I think we should also, just in our free time, make the Harry Houdini reincarnation.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? That is so funny. And
maybe I'll pitch that as a one-shot for Vern Cookbook Party. We should do a reality show one-shot for Cookbook Party. I'm making a mental note.
Justin would be all over that. Yeah, you'd say the words and he would have something that afternoon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so cubicle-based. In my mind, I am perceiving it like the movie Cube, where it is like a Rubik's Cube of cubes.
Yes.
Cubes stacked on cubes, but each cube is a giant room. And there are different challenges. I also like that as a gameplay structure, because then each cube could be like a different level.
Yeah.
And each level can have a different kind of gameplay. So maybe.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Maybe there's one that's reflex or action based. Yeah. Maybe there's one that's a little FPS-y. Yeah. There's one that's a puzzle game, that sort of thing.
Maybe you learn a certain mechanic and each one uses that mechanic some way, but it gets more complex and obtuse by the final one.
One of my favorite kinds of indie games are indie games that have a core concept, like you can shoot portals, and then over the over the spread of the game, you just use that one base mechanic in interesting and new ways to sort of expand upon that.
I love Baba Is You.
Yeah!
I'm horrifyingly bad at it. It doesn't work the way my brain does, but it's one of the games that I have had the most fun with at any game I played. And that's kind of the same thing. Baba Is You is the core mechanic.
Yeah. So I love the idea that it's something like that that we kind of expand upon. And so each cube is, I mean, much like the levels function in all of those games, each cube is a different way of using that mechanic and expanding upon it. And then the final cube is you going over the Niagara Falls in the cube?
Yes. Yeah. Got to have the Niagara Falls ending one way or the other.
Or think
like it's a
bit.
Space station or something.
Ooh, yeah. It zooms out. You're not on Earth anymore.
No.
That would be funny.
Truly remote work. Okay. So you have different family members. Do different family members have different aptitudes?
Oh.
Is grandma, like, she's psychic? Wait, sorry, this is going too far already. Is like mom super strong? And Jimmy is like really mischievous, so he can break things if they need to be broken.
As a superpower or as an aptitude?
Oh, yeah, as an aptitude. It's okay.
He's just good at breaking
things. His inclination, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea. Is it, I guess here's a question. Are you playing as like a one person in one of these roles?
Is this multiplayer?
I was gonna
say. Do you
say.
Get together with your friends for a little co-op and let's play family? Okay, I got this great cube game.
I love the idea that it's multiplayer. And I love the idea that each like person in the family is a different role and has different powers. So hypothetically, you could roll with a family of four moms.
Oh, yeah. Totally, totally. Four grandmas.
Yeah. You could just absolutely do that. And is that ideal for team composition? No. Ideally, you want a variety.
Challenge.
Yeah. But I love the idea that, yeah, each family member has nothing to do with with that thing. It is just the name that we are giving, like the heavy versus the healer versus the tank.
Totally, yeah. You could name yourself after the Golden Girls and really just have an expert mode.
I love that there's no real character. The only character selection is the kind of gameplay experience you want to have, and we just call those mom, dad, parent, sibling.
Yeah, family, friend, things like that.
Yeah, weird uncle, weird aunt. Yeah. Yes, I like the idea that it's multiplayer because then you're kind of adding another layer to the family part.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a family-friendly game? Cube, not a family-friendly movie,
no.
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, any game is a game you can play with your family, right?
No.
So is there any game that you can play with your family?
I think Katamari Damacy is a family-friendly game, okay. Depending on your relationship with your dad.
Yeah, I would say probably not. I'd say depends on your family.
Yeah, that's fair, and that's always going to be the case. Yeah. I don't know if I'd sit down and play Helldivers 2 with my family, but maybe.
Okay, did we nail our Rex? It's claustrophobic because it's based on a horror film. Maybe your only movement mechanic is crawling. and you crawl in different ways. And that really drives home the claustrophobia. And it's easier for the kids to crawl, so they get an advantage there.
Okay. Yeah,
and it's harder for Uncle Burly to crawl. So he's going to get from end to end.
Uncle Burly's a weird uncle for sure. Yeah, Uncle Burly, yeah. Okay. I like that aspect. I like the idea. I mean, maybe this is, it could be largely a platformer.
Okay.
And maybe it's just a platformer where you get one cool mechanic, or maybe we abandon the one cool mechanic thing and it's just a platformer.
That could work.
A claustrophobic platformer?
Usually you want a certain degree of freedom in platforming so that the movement feels good. Hmm. So it would have to be consistent with the claustrophobia.
Maybe, okay, maybe the idea is that you have a really high jump.
Okay.
But the ceilings are really low.
And they keep shrinking.
Yeah. And so I think maybe this is it is a platformer, but it's a platformer where you have to be very gentle with your height. It's a really sensitive gauge on your jump. So you're gonna need a really good quality controller.
Yeah.
That's something that can do really sensitive hair trigger jumping so that you can choose if you want to do a really massive jump or a really long jump, or if you have to be smart and make sure it's a little bit of a smaller jump.
Okay, yeah. You know, Prince of Persia is a very claustrophobic platformer.
Mm.
And part of that is the degree of jumps that you have to make. I'm thinking of the one for, you know, MS-DOS, the original.
Yeah. And we can make it more claustrophobic by adding more enemies and stuff like that as needed. But I like the idea that if you're playing, you're playing Little Jimmy. He doesn't have the highest jump.
No.
But that is ideal in a lot of situations because the top of the cube is covered in spikes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need to cooperate. And that's part of the family sim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The family working together, yeah.
Okay, so maybe it'll be like sometimes you get games where it's like you have two players and one is like a full-sized adult and the other one is like a child or like an animal of some kind.
Yeah.
The animal can wiggle into little spaces and hit buttons to open doors and vice versa. So I like the idea of a multiplayer platformer that is that kind of vibe where you need somebody who can access different small areas and then you need people who can get farther and are stronger and can maybe do combat and things like that.
Yeah. Did you ever play Lost Vikings?
No, I don't think so.
It's made by the studio that became Blizzard, like, back in the 90s. And it was, you had three Vikings who were taken to space by aliens, and they each had different roles and powers. And it was one player, so you'd switch back and forth between them, but you needed to bring them all to the end of the level. I could see it being kind of like that. I think that the cooperation on multiplayer would feel better.
Yeah.
And maybe you played Trine. That's a little bit similar.
Yeah, Trine is kind of... Yeah, Trine is a good example of what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think ours is going to be much more like you feel like a family. So it's not as magical. And it really is... You're just helping each other.
Yeah, and are we going to keep the cubicle theme? Is it still workplace themed in any sort of way?
Yes, because that's what makes me feel claustrophobic.
All right. This is a Paul claustrophobia specific game.
Yes, you're welcome.
I like that. I like the idea that there is like this aesthetic. There was a game that came out a couple years ago. I think it was called Going Under. It was a roguelike, and it was also like a corporate, like you worked for a startup kind of theme. You were an intern at a startup, that sort of energy. I like the idea of that. How are we going to justify children? I guess it's the reality TV show level.
Yes.
Like the layer of that is that you're trying to get through this. I guess that does that supersede the corporate, which aesthetic are we doing? Reality TV show or corporate?
Well, reality show, because that is the prompt.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. And we just happen to go with corporate as a lead over from family. Doesn't have to be. I still like the cubicle. We can focus more on kind of those obstacle course reality shows that are perennially popular.
Yeah. Takashi's Castle.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Takashi's Family's Castle.
The family estate.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, those are so fun. And I like that we have an alternative, which is that it's claustrophobic. I feel like those are usually out in the open in some sort of weird, horrible warehouse or deserted island or whatever insane setting they have. And ours is not. It is a warehouse.
Yes.
But it is a very small, tightly knit warehouse.
Yes. Yes.
Is the reality show, what kind of, how does that interact with it? Like, are we, is that in just in like the interstitials between levels? You'll get the weird host to sort of move the story along?
Maybe each stage has a theme and the show host tells you what the theme is going to be and you have to do certain stuff at certain points, or you have to not do certain things to, or else you're going to get, you know, axed from the show.
Okay. Did you ever play Dicey Dungeons?
No.
Okay. It came out a few years ago. It's a very, very fun game. I played quite a lot of it, but it does, it has a game show style, like, structure.
Got
where
it.
You show up and you're like, hey, here's a, oh, it's a new dice is here to compete. You play as a dice.
Yeah.
A new dice is here to compete. And then the host of it kind of leads you through the tutorials. And when you do well, when you move on to a next stage, she'll appear and be like, wow, you're doing really well. That's unfortunate. That sort of thing. So I think that, and that's fun. It kind of keeps everything moving. It makes sure that the sort of story elements gets interjected, but not in a super burdensome or obnoxious way.
Yeah.
So I think that could work well for a reality show game.
I think so. As light a touch as you need.
Yeah.
And maybe we have a mode where the family has to succeed, but one of them still wins by getting the most points.
Ooh, yeah.
And maybe you could have like breakaways, like talking head scenes in between levels where the host can ask them how they felt.
Okay, yeah, I like that. And then it's different for whoever got the most points. That is a fun way of incentivizing cooperation, but also competition.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, yes, you will be graded and your grade will matter. So you're trying to help. But only one person gets to be on the, like, highlight screen.
Yeah.
At the end of a level. I like that. I feel like that's a fun that's a fun reality show angle. Because, of course, somebody has to win on a reality show.
Of course, yeah. Otherwise, no one's going to tune in.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody has to get married or get the job or get the check at the end or be the sole survivor.
Yes.
And we want this to be a fun cooperative game, but only one player can win.
Yeah, and maybe we have a cooperation mode, you know, for family fun.
No.
Okay. No cooperation pure mode. It's all cooperative, like God intended.
Yes, cooperative. What a burdensome word. Cooperative? Yes. Is that what you said?
Cooperation. Okay. Yeah, it's like being on a sales team.
Yes. Okay, it is exactly. That's how we're looping it back to cubicles. A thing that for some reason I will not let go of.
I like it.
Okay. I like that. It's like you're all in this together, but you're not because one of you is going to be the winner.
Yes.
That's really good. Paul, what should we name this? You said a couple good things.
Wow.
You said cubicle.
Was that good?
I wrote it down. Okay, so good. In the moment, I must have thought it was good.
Yeah, cubicle. That doesn't really tell you you're playing a family game.
The other thing I wrote down was remote work.
That's more for the Octodad spinoff.
Yes, I like the idea that, because presumably somebody will be running this. And so the idea that there would be somebody from afar adjusting the rooms with a remote,
yes,
I think is why it stuck out in my mind. Although it's a pun, I don't think it really works for what we've settled on.
I think if you have a reality show, the name has to tell you what you're getting to right away. So there has to be something about family.
I mean, the reality TV shows that we looked at from the mid-2000s are all pretty crazy title-wise.
Oh, that's a good point.
Some of them are puns. See Sheer Genius, S-H-E-A-R.
Right.
I assume it is a hair cutting competition. And then you have stuff like America's Best Dance Crew. Who Wants to Be a Superhero? I mean, the Who Wants to Be a Blank structure is really good to communicate.
True.
That it's a reality TV show. Then we could focus it better on being a family sim. So who wants to be a family?
Dancing on Ice, Strictly Dance Fever, So You Think You Can Dance.
So You Think You Can Act as a Family Unit. So You Think You Can.
Oh, okay. So the title is challenging people to act as a cohesive family.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So You Think You Can Bond.
Family meeting. Family, what do you call it when you and your family go out on like a trip or some kind of experience?
Vacation.
Family vacation.
Family vacation.
Family ties. Family squares.
This is why you're good at crosswords. I'm seeing this part of your brain emerge in this moment.
The boxes they could go into could be called family units, though.
I like that.
That could be part of the game.
Family unit is not a bad title. I think the word unit does kind of imply a space, you know, okay, like a storage unit.
Oh, for sure.
America's best family unit.
That would work. That would do the job. I don't know if I love it. If I saw that on Steam's main page, it'd be like, family unit, ha 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 ha. I don't know if I would actually click through and watch a video.
Well, then what do you have on offer, Paul? Give me an alternative. I know my family's a star.
I know my family's a star. It's all in the family. Family matters.
Those are all good riffs. I don't know if any of them are titles of anything.
None of them are anything.
They're good pun structures. I think the "so you think you can blank" or yeah. I think that we need to use one of those structures.
I think you're in. So you think your family can.
So you think you can family.
So you think you can family. You nailed it. Jenna. That's it. That's gotta be it. So you think you can family. Prove it.
Oh, actually, okay, I like what you just did, which is add prove it to then. I think that's a good name for a title. So you think you can family prove it.
That's it. And it'll have the really long-winded blow-up balloon colorful font that you see on novel titles nowadays.
Yes. Really puffy. Okay, I like it. So you think you can family prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, do you have anything to plug?
I do have one thing to plug. It's this crazy little actual play Pathfinder podcast called Burnt Cookbook Party. It's four words, Burnt Cookbook Party. I put my heart and soul into it. Put all of my jokes into it. It's family friendly. No, it's not family friendly.
No, Paul, no.
Don't listen to Burnt Cookbook Party with your family. But do listen to Burnt Cookbook Party.
And I'll have a link, obviously, in the description of this episode where you can find that show and listen to it. Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts created and hosted by me, Jenna Stieber. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe and also spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. To support this show directly, subscribe at patreon.com/thejenna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list. Help guide the podcast and our brainstorming at patreon.com/thejenna. Paul, what's a one-word, adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you would like to add to the ingredient list?
Spicy.
Oh, boy.
Is it on there 50 times already?
It's so funny that you say that, because literally the last person who was on Rob in the last episode we recorded added spicy.
No.
Yeah. And what I will say is that a lot of the words that are already on the adjective list are synonyms for horny. So we're probably good there. And also the number one, I think, type of gameplay I've been asked to add is dating sim or some variety of
dating
sim.
That makes sense. Those are popular for a reason.
Everybody wants horny dating sim games, and I get it, but we probably have a good spice.
How about the word booty?
As an adjective?
As a noun? Oh, as a premise.
Okay. Booty? What is a booty game, Paul?
A game where booty features prominently.
Hmm.
Have you ever played WarioWare?
Okay, yes. Okay, you got me there. I was thinking of, there's a really good Ogloff joke that I think about a lot, which is that there's a difference between dick jokes and jokes featuring dicks.
Oh, that's a very good point.
And I'll have to keep that in mind with booty.
It might be a pirate game, but that's kind of an easy out.
I hadn't even considered that. That's probably going to be the out that I take when that comes up on the premise listing. Paul, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Jenna.
Thank you for listening to Big Game Hunger, and don't forget to wishlist So You Think You Can Family? Prove It on Steam. Release date TBD.